Right, you turn your Bibles to Psalm 122. Psalm 122, and we are using this verse as something, an admonishment from our Lord, and in consideration of a subject that this leads us to here in our day. In Psalm 122, it's a psalm of David, a psalm of degrees, and as we understand that, it's the content. The things that are dealt with are increasing in intensity, if you will, from a poetry type of thing. And here in verse number 6 of Psalm 122, David writes, our Lord gives us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. It's interesting how Jerusalem is such a the controversy regarding Jerusalem is great. Why would that city be so? There are cities that are greater than Jerusalem, and from the standpoint of notoriety and different things that have happened as far as size and population, all those different kind of things, why would there be so much controversy regarding Jerusalem? Well, that's the Lord's city. That's the reason. It is the Lord's city. He set his love on Jerusalem. And notice that there in the latter part of the verse, they shall prosper that love thee. We need to love this city. It doesn't mean that when the Jews do anything wicked or evil, that we're to condone that. That's not what it's talking about. But for the prosperity and the blessing of Jerusalem and Israel, we should pray. This brings us to our day, and we preached a message in December regarding the enemies of Israel, And it's easy for us to... Maybe this hasn't happened with you, but it does, and it has happened with me in my mind in times past, that we get focused on just maybe a character or two in the Bible, that their lineage, their posterity became the enemies of Israel. Well, I tell you what, you take a look in this study, and you'll find out it is a wide, wide subject. There are many, many that are involved. As a caveat to this, just a note, turn to Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, a wonderful chapter, many things that are mentioned here in the book of Zechariah that are just so, so very interesting, and the Lord gives us glimpses of things to come. But in Zechariah chapter 14, there at the end of the book, in verse number 1, listen to what the Lord says here, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. And thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall be cut off from the city. Verse number 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. So as we consider about the enemies of Israel, we need to have and understand that all nations, according to the Word of God, will become the enemies of Israel. In the end, it's going to be all nations. And so name the nations that remain, and whatever remains in that day, whenever that time is, whether it be near or whether it be a distant time, they're going to all be the enemies of Israel. But we want to take and go from the biblical standpoint and kind of going to back, if you will, the beginning of the enemies of Israel, namely there in that land of Palestine, Canaan, the land of Israel itself. Turn in your Bibles, we'll go to Psalm 83, and we'll just, for the sake of review and for the sake of making these messages stand alone, well, we're going to use this as our guideline, considering about the nations of Israel or the enemies of Israel. And this is a fine chapter, a fine psalm that does that for us. It lays it out. Psalm 83, verse number 1, keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. Brother Asaph cries unto the Lord. Verse 2, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, against thy nation, against thy city. I think we could understand in that, and consulted against thy hidden ones. Verse 4. Here's their threat. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. You hear that? Does that sound familiar to you today? I tell you what, we've heard it all of our lives. There are those that don't want Israel to be a nation, and we should desire Israel to be a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, God. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek and the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot, Selah. Just stop and think about it. That's what that word Selah means. Meditate upon that. How would you feel, I'll use that word, how would you feel if you had so many enemies? Well, that's the enemies. These are the enemies indeed of Israel. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin, the psalmist declares, at the brook Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb. Yea, all their princes as Zeba and as Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Look at that. That's what they want. This is their desire. It's declared. They declare it. Oh, my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. There's still a desire there for righteousness and for goodness in there. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. And so we see in this latter verse, this verse 18, indeed, we see the purpose of God and the Lord dealing ultimately with the enemies of his nation. Remember in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Genesis 12, 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You know that still stands. There's nothing that's come about that's changed what the Lord declared unto Abram in that day, Abraham, as we know him now. The enemies of Israel. Last time we took a look at what it says here at the end of this verse number 8 in Psalm 83, the children of Lot. And they're mentioned up here in verse number 6, Moab and Ammon. And so we saw about them. We saw about their origins and that. We saw last time also and took a look at Ishmael, Isaac's brother. Isaac's brother, who Abraham had by Hagar, the Egyptian. Tonight we want to go over here to Genesis chapter 25, and we want to focus on this that it says here, the tabernacles of Edom. We're trying to take these in a logical order, not necessarily order of the psalm there in Psalm 83, but a logical order as we come to them in the encounters of the scriptures. And so that's what we're trying to accomplish in this. In Genesis 25, Isaac has had two sons, or is having two sons. Let's take a look here in Genesis 25, verse number 19. These are the generations of Isaac. Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, for Rebekah, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Verse 22, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? Why is this struggle going on in my belly? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Listen to what the Lord told her. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. See, do you notice this? Two manner of people. You know, that's the way it is with the genealogies of the world. We all have the same daddy. Everybody in the world has the same daddy, Adam. And then, as we're going to see, it got choked down to Noah, and Ham, Shem, and Japheth is who all of us come through. We've got yet another daddy, Brother Noah. And from that, if you will, I don't want to use terms that the evolutionists use, but from all of that, I mean, the Lord put in Adam, the Lord put in Noah, us. He did. And we come from, in different manner of people, according to the working of God, have come forth from these men. And in that, we are members of the human race. All different kind of ethnicities, all different kind manner of people. Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And, you know, been thinking about this, about the Lord Jesus. He said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I tell you what, that's an interesting study. Maybe that'll come and maybe challenge you to take a look at that. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I tell you what, you can go down through the scriptures and see that over and over and over again. It's the Lord's working. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau, which is tending to that redness that he had in his skin and his hair. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was threescore years old when she bare them. He was 60. Verse 27, And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. So we see we have Isaac's sons here, Jacob and Esau. Esau and Jacob, born of Isaac, they're twins. And to my recollection, these are the children that Isaac and Rebekah have. These are their children. We see here that Esau is the firstborn, and we're not going to go into all that, about the detail of that, but he's the firstborn, and things are to go to him. But the thing is the Lord's spoken to Rebekah, saying the way it was going to be. And rather than Rebekah and Jacob waiting for what the Lord said he would do, they sought their own means. Our sin never thwarts the Lord. Understand, the Lord did not sanction in any way what Jacob did in stealing the blessing from his brother. I think it's evident in the scripture. He should have waited, but Rebekah had other ideas. Also, Esau going out into the field and doing as he did, he sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage to his brother. And there's an element of that was cruel regarding his brother. He wouldn't give to Esau to eat in his being so famished, but rather sold him that for his birthright. And so Jacob, yeah, being a usurper and by hook and crook ended up with the birthright and the blessing. That troubled him later on that way. It troubled him later on. Should have waited for the Lord to work in it. But nevertheless, the Lord was not thwarted in what he did. There was enmity between the two. Remember, Jacob left on bad terms under the threat that Esau was going to kill him. And so he goes off and to Padan Aram and gets his wives, Leah and Rachel and all of that, and then comes back there and is reconciled to his brother. Let's take a look at some things here regarding this of Esau. In Genesis chapter 26, in the next chapter, we pick it up here in verse number 34. Verse number 34, we read this. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, remember that, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. Esau, when he took wives, two wives, from the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. It wasn't supposed to be that way. Abraham didn't teach them that way. You remember the great strain and the great diligence that Abraham had about not getting Isaac a wife from Canaan? He made Eliezer, his steward, swear that he would not bring Isaac back to the land that they came from, and nor that he would get Isaac a wife from that land in which they sojourned. But Esau, he took wives of that region and of the Hittites. And what's it say in verse 35? Which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. It wasn't to be that way. But Esau was chafed, it seems, and just wayward and got wives from that. Do you see the mix that's going on here? That which the Lord had given to Abraham, and what the directive that the Lord gave Abraham in particular, was not to deal that way with the inhabitants of the land. But Esau did. And that's what God gave him to do. Chapter 28. Chapter 28. Let's take a look here. And we just want to see here, we saw Ishmael being the son of an Egyptian. And that's just the lineage that is there, Abraham's son and Hagar's son, and how that was. We see Lot having children by his own daughters, and Moab and Ammon there. It just wasn't to be. And so they become a detriment to Israel, to Abraham, to Jacob's, and the patriarchs in time. Genesis 28, verse number 6. Let's take a look here. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, as he blessed him, he gave him a charge saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. So that would have been the same for the both boys. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau to Ishmael. Isn't that interesting? He went to his uncle. He went to his uncle. He went to Ishmael, and he took unto the wives which he have, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. So we just want to see the origins of Esau's children here, and how it is that for them and for Abraham and for his posterity, the command of the Lord was at hand, and that's what they were to abide by. And Esau did not. Chapter 36. So from these wives, these multiple wives, came the children of Esau. In Genesis chapter 36, verse number 1, the scripture says, now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Who is Edom. So we have that spelled out for us plainly there. Back in Psalm 83, It says here that who the enemies of Israel are, the enemies of Israel, the enemies of Jerusalem. It says right off in verse number 6, the tabernacles of Edom. And Esau is Edom. Esau took his wives and the daughters of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and Aholibama, the daughter of Ana, the daughter of Zibeon, the Hivite, and Bashemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth. And Ada bare to Esau Eliphaz, and Bashemath bare Reuel, and Aholibama bare Jehush, and Jalem, and Korah. These are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house and all his cattle and his cattle and his all his beasts and all his substance, which he had gotten in the land of Canaan. So he's moving. This is after Jacob comes back to that region, it seems, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. I find that interesting that he did that. It doesn't seem from the scriptures that he was urged by anyone to do that. And he had become a very wealthy man himself. As if you remember in the scriptures, as Jacob was coming back home at the command of the Lord, he broke all of his household up into a couple troops. And before them, he sent several different groups of different offerings and presents to his brother, that by the time he got all the way back here to Jacob, Jacob was hoping he would be appeased. The thing is Esau came with, I think, 400 men, which would be a fearful sight. But Esau wasn't of a mind to hurt Jacob at all. And so Jacob has come back home. Isaac's still living. And it comes to Esau's heart to go ahead and load up and move away. For their riches were more than they might dwell together, verse 7, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, the son of Ada, the wife of Esau; Reuel, the son of Bashemath, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, and Omar, and Zepho, and Getham, and Kenaz. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. Remember that name, Amalek. And these were the sons of Ada, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Reuel, Nahath, and Zerah, and Shammah, and Mizah. These were the sons of Bashemath, Esau's wife. These were the sons of Aholibama, the daughter of Ana, the daughter of Zibeon, Esau's wife. She bare to Esau Jeush and Jalam and Korah. These were dukes of the sons of Esau. Now, these are none of my kin, okay? I want you to understand that. The sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn son of Esau, Duke Teman, Duke Omar, Duke Zepho, Duke Kenaz, Duke Korah, Duke Gatam, Duke Amalek. These are the dukes that came of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. These were the sons of Ada. And these are the sons of Reuel, Esau's son, Duke Nahath, Duke Zerah, Duke Shammah, Duke Mizah. These are the dukes that came of Reuel in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Bashemath, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Aholibama, Esau's wife, Duke Jeush, Duke Jalem, Duke Korah. These are the dukes that came of Aholibama, the daughter of Ana, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Esau, who is Edom, and these are their dukes. These are the sons of the Seir the Horite, who inhabited the land. So this is a fellow that's there in this land too, who inhabited the land. And it seems like, if I'm understanding this right, there's maybe even an intermingling in time. Who inhabited the land, Lotan and Shobal, and Zibeon and Anah and Dishon and Ezer and Dishan. These are the dukes of the Horites, the children of Seir in the land of Edom. And the children of Lotan were Hori and Heman. And Lotan's sister was Timnah. And then the children of Shobal were these: Alvan, Manahath, and Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. And these are the children of Zibeon, both Aja and Anah. And this was that Anah that found the mules in the wilderness as he fed the asses of Zibeon, his father. And the children of Anah were these: Dishon, Aholibah, Ma, the daughter of Anah. And these are the children of Dishon: Hemdan, Eshban, Ithran, and Chiran. The children of Ezer are these: Bilhan and Zaavan and Achan. The children of Dishon are these: Uz and Aran. These are the dukes that came of the Horites: Duke Lothan, Duke Shobal, Duke Zibeon, Duke Anah, Duke Dishon, Duke Ezer, Duke Dishan. These are the dukes that came of Hori among their dukes in the land of Seir. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom. Okay, so evidently Esau is dominant, but there are those that were either there that he had influence over or power over. These are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom, verse 31, before there reigned any king over the children of Israel. What do you hear in that? What do you see in that? Well, they were prolific. There's a bunch of them, and they were mighty. They were mighty. They were dominant there in that region of Seir and Mount Seir. And before there was any king over Israel. And Bela, the son of Behor, reigned in Edom, and the name of his city was Dine Haba, verse 33. And Bela died, and Jobab, the son of Zerah of Bozra, reigned in his stead. And Jobab died, and Husham of the land of Temani reigned in his stead. And Shuham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who smote Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his stead. And the name of his city was Avith. And Hadad died, and Samla of Masrika reigned in his stead. And Samla died, and Saul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his stead. And Saul died, and Baal-Nanan, Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his stead. And Baal-Hanan, the son of Achor, died. Now, you notice that name, Baal-Hanan? Very likely a worshiper of Baal. Okay? And Hadar reigned in his stead, and the name of the city was Peu, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Maetred, and the daughter of Mizahab. These are the names of the dukes that came of Esau, according to their families, after their places, by their names: Duke Timnah, Duke Alva, Duke Jetheth, Duke Ahobabama, Duke Eli, Duke Pinon, Duke Kenaz, Duke Teman, Duke Mizar, Duke Magadil, Duke Iram. These be the dukes of Edom, according to their habitations in the land of their possession. He is Esau, the father of the Edomites. So here we see all these children that Esau had, and the children that they had, and the dominance and the might that they had there in the land. And what do you think was passed down to them? How everything was just really good and sweet between Esau and his brother Jacob? How it was that Jacob bought the birthright and stole the blessing? Because that's the way it would be. Tell you what, over time, over the years, over the decades, these people would be incensed towards Israel because their daddy their daddy was burned and robbed by their uncle. Now notice how they're all connected. They are related. But they're not of that line that the Lord promised. You know what? If we can think in our hearts, you know, it's just not fair. I understand that. I can appreciate how it can be thought that, well, that's just not right. It's just not right what Jacob did. And what he did was not right. The Lord was going to give Jacob what he was going to give Jacob. And Jacob and his mother didn't wait. And they sought it by hook and crook. But the thing is the Lord had made the promise that he's made. And they doing it the way that they did, it came to him. It came to him. But you know what it did? In doing it the way that they did it, it made an enemy out of Esau. The Lord could have done it where he wouldn't have been an enemy. But nevertheless, that's the case. So now Esau, or Edom, an enemy of Israel. In Genesis chapter 9, which we're here at this one, let's go ahead and just read this to get started on our next group. And that is the Canaanites. The Canaanites. I tell you what, if Esau wasn't enough and so wide and so great and the multitude and the number associated with Esau and Ishmael and Ammon and Moab, when we get to the Canaanites, it's even more widespread. Understand that Israel has had many, many enemies. It's just not the descendants of Ishmael, but it's Ishmael and some of Ishmael's children with Esau, and the Egyptians are wrapped up in there too, and such. And it's really something how wide that this subject is. In Genesis chapter 9, the Lord has delivered Noah and his sons, and this is really something about the Canaanite. And there's something here, there's things here that we will see as we take a look and consider this study. In Genesis chapter 9, Noah has landed. The Lord has delivered him and his sons and their wives in the ark. And in Genesis 9, verse number 18, the scripture says, "And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan." We're told that there about Ham and being a father to Canaan for a reason, because there's something that's going to come up here that we're going to be told about. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine that was drunken, and he was uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, again, this is mentioned over and over again, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father without looking on it. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan." So there's something that's happened here. At the least, Noah had become drunken with the wine of his vineyard and was there in his tent naked. And Ham came in there and saw that and mocked about it. Or there was something that happened even worse from that. But from what we see here in the scriptures, it was that Ham had mocked the nakedness of his father and made it known to his brothers. But the other two brothers went in there, Shem and Japheth, and they were very careful and very honoring to their father in his own tent, in the privacy of his own tent there, and what had happened. And they went backward, and they didn't look upon the nakedness of their father, and indeed are blessed because of that. Ham, whatever it was that he did, it was very, very serious. And it caused the curse to be upon his son. We might ask the question, why his son? Well, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. I don't know why that would be the case, but it is what has happened. And that's the reason we're told that Ham is the father of Canaan. So this would be very, very clear. Understand, this is a setup. Well, not a setup, but this is just the events that took place and the choices made by the individuals at hand and the blessing of the Lord at hand upon some and the lack of the blessing of the Lord and righteousness on the part of others. And do you understand that this is affecting people all the way till today? Today, what you and I do, our actions that we engage in and what we pursue can have generational effect. And we need to know that. It's not just about us and ours and just what's going on right here in this time. But what we do now has an effect for the generations to come. Cursed be Canaan, Noah declares. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And so there's this declaration of servitude in regards to Canaan. There's this order that's put at hand regarding Shem and Japheth and Canaan, and this servitude that Canaan is going to be involved with. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So here we have the introduction to Canaan, Ham's son, in this curse that is placed upon him indeed. Let's go to Genesis chapter 10, and then we'll just hear in the next chapter, and then we'll read a few verses here, and we'll close for tonight. As we saw with Esau, as we saw with Ishmael, as we saw with Ammon and Moab, they had children. They went on and they had children. They had families. They had pursuits. They built cities. They had kingdoms. Here in chapter 10, we see that regarding this man Canaan. In Genesis 10, verse number 15, and Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth. Now listen to how the wording is here. Sidon, a name, and Heth. And here in verse number 16, this is the word of the Lord. Notice the change here in the way that the Lord words this. He doesn't refer to the individual sons anymore of Canaan, but he refers to the people that came from those sons. I just find that interesting. Canaan begat Sidon, that's a man, and Heth, that's a man, and the Jebusite. You ever remember hearing about the Jebusites? David drove the Jebusites from Jerusalem to take Jerusalem. That's the reason we need to read our Bible so we can know about these accounts. And the Amorite, you ever hear about the Amorites? And the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvidite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. And afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. So here we have a listing of 11 different children of Canaan. Sidon and Heth, who we have their names, and then this would be like calling all of my children and grandchildren, all going on down through there of the sons that I would have, calling them the Dukites. All right? And that's what he did. That's what the Lord did. And there's 11 different fingers, or children, sons of this man Canaan, and they spread abroad in the land of Canaan. And Brother Abram was sent to go there. You know what this is the working of the Lord is going to be? This is going to be a people that's going to be displaced from their land by God Almighty. As nations, as their father, as whatever that was that their father did, it was a great offense to God Almighty. And Lord willing, next time that we touch on this subject, we might have some more hints about what some of that is. And so you be looking about it, studying about it, get that concordance out, electronic, or that book, maybe look some things up, see if you can and perceive where we're maybe going to go and read some ahead. I'm not going to give you any more than that. In considering about this, these lessons, I thought of a verse, and I didn't look it up, and I'm going to look to, I'm going to get it looked up, so I can have it for next time. I failed to do it. I'm so easily distracted these days that I just don't remember to do some things. But there's a verse that talks about in the scriptures that the Lord Jesus is going to answer every person to their face, his enemies in particular, and going to answer them to their face. I thank the Lord by being saved by the Lord, I'm no longer his enemy. Amen. And that's not because of me, but it's because of the good Lord and his salvation through his Son. But I tell you what, being the enemy of the Lord, Jesus himself said it. He that's not against us is for us. Are you for him? I'm not talking about being for the Lord in word. I'm talking about being for the Lord in life and in action, in obedience. Obedience is really the key. It is the key, obedience. And those that are against the Lord will perish eternally. And the Lord will answer everyone to their face. If you're here and you're not saved and you leave out of this life in that shape, the Lord will answer you to your face. So there won't be any doubt about any aspect of anything regarding you and your soul and your life if you leave out of this life without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You need him. And you know what? You know what the Lord says to sinners like you and me? He says, come to me. He says, come to me. Don't be like Adam out there hiding, thinking that you can hide from God, because you can't. But come to the Lord. Just as you are, as the song says, without one plea, become as you are, because the enemies of God will not stand.